Good morning. Come, good morning. Okay. So, when do important events take place in the Chumash? Vayhi be'etzem hayom hazeh. Let's see it. Sivos b'nei Yisrael mi'etzayim b'mabul. Vayhi be'etzem hayom hazeh. Always in midday. So Rashi has the reason it occurs in midday, because the generation was threatening to prevent Noah from entering the Teva, or Mitzrayim is going to threaten to withhold the Jewish people, so Hashem wants to display his indomitability. No one can stand in his way in clear daylight, as we say, at high noon. Of course, it happens at high noon, because these are epic events, and it happens when the sun's at its apex, and in the middle of the day, people... These are important events. They don't take place at... When does Kriyas Yamsuf take place? We don't often think about it. The only tag we have... Imagine in your mind Kriyas Yamsuf. Was it at 12 o'clock? Was it in the afternoon? Was it during the 10th? No, Ruchat Eser? When does the Kriyas Yamsuf take place? So the only tag we have is Vayihi Biashmaras Habokir. Vayashkev Hashem El Machane Mitzrayim B'mur Eish V'yanan Vayahamis Machane Mitzrayim. They're already in the water. Vayudifu Mitzrayim V'rach Rehem. So the Jews have already passed through. We don't really know, but the tag, at least the Torah wants us to believe it happens Bashmaras Habokir. So what does Rashi say? Bashmaras Habokir. Shlosha Schelke Halayla Kuri Mashmaras. Now it's divided into three. So it happens probably towards the end of the third shift. Those who are learning Daf Yomi Tani say, right? The three Mishmaros, different Malachim. Rashi continues. V'omrani, Rashi explains why. Shalafnei Habokir. So it happened probably at the end of the third Mishmaros. So it happened really early. Just think about Kriyas Yamsuf. Had to get up really early. If you miss Minyan, you miss Kriyas Yamsuf. I fell asleep. I wake up early. The night is divided into three shifts, but what are the three shifts? The three shir of the Malachi Asheres. The shira that the Malachim say. Why is this important? Why is Kriyas Yamsuf being scheduled based on the Mishmaros of the Malachim? So there are two reasons. And of course, they're interactive. They complement each other. One is that Kriyas Yamsuf is a celestial event, unlike Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a terrestrial event. Kriyas Yamsuf has implications far beyond just the national face-off between Mitzrayim and the Jews. To a degree, the Makos do as well. But Kriyas Yamsuf is much more international. What does Yisro hear? He doesn't really hear too much about Dam Tzverdea, but he hears about Kriyas Yamsuf. Eza Shmur Shem Oba, Kriyas Yamsuf. What is Balak worried about? What do they hear? Kriyas Yamsuf. What is Rachav worried about? Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is an international cosmological event about a Kodesh Baruch Hu redirecting my separations, recreating the world in ways the Makos allude to, don't get me wrong, but Kriyas Yamsuf is much more. That's why Chazal explode Kriyas Yamsuf in Mitzrayim. 10 Makos happen on the Yam, 10 times 5, 5 times 5, 250, 200 during the Haggadah. That's why the Pasuk in the Haggadah quotes is about Malachim. Mishlachas Malachay Tzarayim. Pasuk in the Haggadah talks about the Malachim. So this is not just a grounded event on the earth. But more importantly and relatedly is what is going to happen now. The Jewish people are going to say Shira. Who do we say Shira with? We just finished saying. V'chulam makabra malayim o malchu shemayim. Safa, Vruvin, Ima, Mifarim, Baruchim, Meshabachim, Mifar, we just say the first Baruch of Kirishma. Then we say Shira right along the Malachim. Kesi, Nulach Hashem, Lakeno, Malachim, Mala, Imam, Chayshal, Kibbutze, Mata, Yachat, Kulam, Kiddisha, the Chayshaleshu, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That our Shira is aligned with the Shira of the Malachim. We become part of the world of nature, the universe, to say Shira and Akarish Baruch. So it's crucial that Az Yashir happens when the Malachim is saying Shira. The Malachim don't say Shira at 12 noon, they say Shira throughout the night, different shifts towards the end of the morning. This is an incredible Rashi. It reminds us of the potency of our Shira, that it's coordinated with Malachim Shira. Because our Shira is not just Basar Vadam, but we have the status of supernatural beings, and our Shira is aligned with the Malachim. So it's a slight little Rashi, but if you read it carefully, oh, that's why it happens, Mashmar Tzavokia, not the Etzema Yom HaZeh. Okay, now, Pasuk describes a little bit earlier, next Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the wheels of their chariots, and now the chariots are heavy by Inahageu Bichveidos. It's heavy for the chariots to ride, and they're not so smooth. By Inahageu Bichveidos. By Yomer Mitzrayim Anusim Epnei Yisrael, we have to flee. Ki Hashem Nilcham Lahem Bimitzrayim. Hashem is fighting the Egyptians. Strange way. Hashem Nilcham Bimitzrayim or Nilcham Neget Bimitzrayim. So what does Rashi say? Bimitzrayim? the Eretz Mitzrayim, Shekeshem She'elu Lokim Alayam, Kach Lokin Osam, near the end of Rashi, She'nishiru B'Mitzrayim. That Kriyas Yamsuf didn't just affect the chariots and the soldiers, and the war. It affected people back in Mitzrayim. Why? This sounds almost like, what do we say, bullying. It's one thing that you have to defeat the Egyptians on the end, but why are you punishing the poor Egyptians who have already discharged the slaves? Or the Shemarach wants to get back at them, revenge? The answer is as follows. The original plan was that the Jews are going to enter Eretz Yisrael in a few months. Remember, without the Meraglim, they're a couple months away from entering Eretz Yisrael. The plan was, 6 Sivan, get the Torah, enter Eretz Yisrael around the summertime, June 15th, say, after finals are over, and then start battling 30 kingdoms for the land of Israel. By Rosh Hashanah time, history ends. That's, history is meant to end 2,448 years. Utopia. No more Brooklyn, no more Teaneck, no more Spain, no more Russia, nothing. This is all a detour. It's all a mirage. There's only one problem. These people are slaves. And they're meant to battle 30 kingdoms? Well, of course, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will intervene for them. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's a spiritual being who teaches us about morality and his law. But I need a fighter. I need a warrior. I need someone to do battle for me. I need to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to wage war. Remember, the first learning about Hashem. We know Hashem is omnipotent, but they don't. So more than Mitzrayim as well, but more than the Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf was warfare. Steeds and chariots and tossing and enemies gloating. In those days when enemies would face off, they would gloat against one another. They'd try to psych each other out. They'd stand on the battlefield and say, this is what we're going to do to you. We're going to, you know, the origin of the middle finger? The middle finger is because when you took people captive, the archers were the most valuable soldiers, the archers. Chitzim, Keshet Vechetz. So if you took archers captive and then you wanted to return them to the other side as part of the exchange of prisoners, you didn't want them to come back in battle, so you had to disable them. How do you disable an archer? You cut off his middle finger. If there's a middle finger, you can't create tension on the arrow. So you cut off the middle finger, then you sent them back. You now know that you've disabled them. You can't really be on the battlefield anymore. So they would psych each other out, the two sides, like in movies, as you see. They would bring all their archers to the front row to show the other side how many archers they had. They would actually defeat them. And the archers would hold up their middle finger to show them that they're archers. It was a sign of aggression and a sign of confidence. So, Amar Oyev, Erdov, Asiga, Chalek, Shalot, and Mimshu, you hear the enemy screaming. This is a battlefield. And that's why, in Yaz Yashayah, we finally realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a warrior. How do we realize that? What's the Pasuk? Hashem Ish Milchama, Hashem Shemo, Susparo Virchmo. Well, wait a second. Everyone knows that in every war, there's two fronts. What are the two fronts in war? There's the actual battlefield. What's the other front? The home front, the chazit. In every battle, you gauge the enemy, but then you send some troops around the back and you conquer the civilians. And every defensive tactic, you have to protect both, pikud ha'orif. So it's crucial that Kriyas Yamsuf affect the orif, not just the battlefield. Because Amir Tashem and Eretz Canaan, they're going to have to both deal with the enemy on the battlefield and also the villages and the towns and capture them or whatever, however you capture a town. So it's crucial. This battle gets split between the Yamsuf and Mitzrayim. Because one of the purposes of Kriyas Yamsuf is to demonstrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to do battle. If he ignores Mitzrayim, the Jews are going to have these lingering doubts. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to defeat chariots, but we have to conquer cities. We have to conquer populations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu know how to conduct a multi-pronged dual-front battle. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not punishing the Egyptians, he's extending the Yamsuf to Mitzrayim. Nilcham lahem b'Mitzrayim. Okay? Number three. Very interesting. Vayanageu b'chvedus. That all of a sudden these chariots got really slow because the wheels were melting, getting caught in the mud. So they're still moving. These poor Egyptians. They're in their chariots like you're in the car and the monster's coming. Step on the gas. Go. The car won't start. So they're in their chariots. And in the middle of the Yamsuf, stuck in the mud, it's hot, the wheels are melting, they can't really change the wheels because they're stinging hot, and they're trying to whip the animals, go. And the horses, they're terrified, they're trying to get out just as quickly. We're saying, let go of me. But you just can't because the chariots, the wheels are broken, and they're stuck in the mud. Vayinageu b'chevedus. So what does Rashi say, b'chevedus? B'mida shemadadu. Because of vayachbed libo hu ve'avadav, because of their vayachbed libo, afkan vayinhageu bichvedus. Now, mida keneged mida only works if there's a substantive association, not if it's word. Oh, the Egyptians are in their chariots. Oh, now our chariots are heavy. That's a punishment for our heavy hearts. Got to be something substantive. Oh, the chariots remind us about our hearts being too strong and heavy when we were in Mitzrayim. And now we realize our flaw in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's righteousness. It can't just be wordplay. It sounds like wordplay. What is the relationship between heavy chariots and heavy hearts, other than just they're both heavy? Chariots, hearts, heavy. The answer is as follows. There are three terms to describe the Egyptian hearts that didn't listen, whether it's Paro or his noblemen. One is Kaved Lei, Vayechved Hashem Eslibo. One is Chozek Lei, Vani Chizak Yechazek Eslei Paro. And one is Aksheh, Kishur Lei, Vani Aksheh Eslei Paro. I don't have time to describe the differences, but they're important because there are many reasons people don't listen in life. Paro is a study in why people are obstinate. They just don't listen. Like, what is he thinking? It's so obvious. Even though there are things that are obvious in life, people just don't see it because their hearts don't allow them to see it. One of the aspects of Kaved Lev, Chazal talk about it being like a liver, a Kaved, that's another, but one of the aspects of Kaved Lev is ego, a heavy heart, Milashon Kavod. You respect yourself. You regard yourself too much. There's too much in your heart about yourself rather than an empty, agile, open, thinking, flexible heart. Your heart is heavy with what? With ego and pride, because you think you're so great. You think you're so fantastic. So I don't have to listen to anyone. I know everything. Why should I listen to anyone's input when I know better than everyone? I'm more accomplished than everyone. I earn more money than anyone. So Egypt wasn't able to listen because they were too full of pride. And why were they proud? Because they were a superpower. And what was the source of their might? Obviously the Nile, and that was being dealt with, and their ability to feed the world, but also they had developed an army that was unbeatable. Why was the army unbeatable? Because of the chariots. The chariots were uniquely Egyptian. No one else had chariots and steeds. They were able to defeat the enemies like nuclear warheads. So Kodesh Baruch was attacking the chariots and making these fast chariots that could move quickly, heavy, and this was an icon of Egyptian pride and ego. Oh, I didn't listen because I had too many chariots. Now my chariots are ground, stuck in the mud. And I realize I should have listened because all this ego is transitory and false and fake. Okay, so you have to go past the wordplay. This was telling you were too proud because of your military might. Military might was centered and pivoted upon the chariots. Now the chariot's going to be too heavy because your heart was too heavy. Or is my heart too heavy because of too much pride in it? Okay, so three very interesting Rashis. It's like the middle section no one really reads. First section everyone knows. When they say Yatsili Ad Rama, Hamushim, Moshe Zatzmos Yosef, Az Yashir, it's like a little section everyone just blows by because trying to get to Shir Hasayam. Really interesting. When did Yom Tov take place? At the end of the night, early morning, Ashmaras. Why? Because that's the Malachim are saying, oh, wow, that's interesting. First time in history, Jews say Shira along with Malachim. Happens every day. We say it every day in davening. V'chayis Yishareu V'afanim V'chayis HaKadosh B'Rash Gadol. We are aligned with this larger celestial praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, the war doesn't just place in the Yom Tov. It takes place in Mitzrayim. Because Hashem is teaching them, I can conduct war. Don't worry, I've got this. I know how to conduct war. I understand the strategy. Number three, V'anagel B'chavedus, is specifically the Kovod Lev. Now, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks this obstinacy to tackle rather than other forms of obstinacy is an interesting question. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending them a message about Akshay Eslev, Achazek Eslev? That's an interesting question. But right now, V'kavda b'faro v'chol chelo, v'yinageo b'chvedus, Hashem's attacking the obstinacy that comes from pride and ego. So the next time you want to try to be a better listener in life, think, am I being too egotistical, too proud of myself, too confident in myself? I have too much of a COVID lave to be able to realize that I don't know everything and have to listen to rebuke and people's correction. Okay? So Mirtz Hashem, the next year will take place, Be'ezras Hashem, on Tuesday, 2 weeks from yesterday. And I'll be in the States. We'll pick up with some more mitzvahs, okay? Have a good day, everyone.